Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll drink a toast of the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Damn on. And today, a mystery dealer's choice men's room Bad Choice Friday. Each of us, each member of the show, has picked our own song. We do not know what the other member has picked. Mm-hmm. However, if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live, the poll is up there. Pick the member of the show that you think has the best tune. As far as the voting, Ted, how are we looking right now as far as whose song will possibly be played after the shot of the day?
Well, Thrill's out there. He's got a good lead.
He does.
Started with a dead heat with Thrill and I again, and now
that's the way it was last week, and I lost it again.
You got a pretty sizable lead, though.
All right.
Look, Mike's at 14, Miles is at 20, I'm at 24.
Okay.
You're at 42.
Hopefully your song does not suck. That's why you need to vote for myself or Mike.
Well, I don't think it does.
I can guarantee you great times, a very positive Friday, positive song.
Is that right?
I can't. This was approved by Castle. He walked in and said, what are the songs? That's all my mind is. Mike. And he was like, that's a great song. Like, he was jazzed about it.
Mike,
never says that.
Yeah. No. Last week, I had the Rick Astley. I was going to Rick roll everybody if they picked me.
Yeah, you were.
Okay. But I was pondering. Yeah, I was thinking about stuff like, you know, When the Children Cry from White Lion. Right. Or Tears in Heaven, you know, from Clapton. Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin. Just something absolutely awful for Friday afternoon.
Oh, for sure.
But I didn't. I went with a better song. I went with a real banger today.
All right. Okay. See, I don't know if I believe you, but
yeah, sure. I feel like you had to fight your inner demons there.
I did.
That's all right. My buddy did that one night.
What's that?
He was like, oh, yeah, I put this song on the jukebox. And I was like, that's not funny, dude. He's like, well, it was funny to me. I said, well, I'm glad you laughed. You killed the whole mood of that bar.
Oh, the whole bar
just
came
down. It was something like he's saying, like just one of those down tempo, just like
tearjerker. What's the Christmas song that everyone cries about?
Oh, the Christmas shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids trying to buy shoes for his dead mom.
That would be
or she's dying. It's awful.
Yeah, one of those.
Why would you write a song about that in the first
place? We know it's
like keep it to yourself.
We know the song, so obviously
I don't know.
But don't try to reason this out.
I know of it because Ted had brought it up before, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And then we played a snippet. I honestly don't remember the song, and I'm glad I don't, because much like Old Yeller, I don't need to relive that.
Yeah. So vote now. Follow us on Twitter, Men's Room Live. Pick myself, Steve, Ted, or Mike, and we don't know the song again. So you just pick it. It's a mystery pick, and whoever wins in the voting, that song will be played. Okay. Our question: when it comes to work, who was the worst person or customer you had to deal with? A couple quick headlines here, because that's basically all you need. Our first story involved an employee at a KFC getting shot in St. Louis because they ran out of corn.
Corn. KFC.
Now.
You go for the corn.
Look, you get sides.
You do. Yeah.
I like their slaw.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the potatoes, man.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I usually get two sides.
I'd shoot a man over potatoes, but corn.
All right. So, this story. I'll just give you the headline. Woman angry about missing chicken strip and ranch sauce accused of running over store manager's leg. Do you have any idea where that might have happened?
Atlanta.
Oh, that would be St. Louis again.
So, damn.
Yeah, St. Okay. Louis. So you either get shot for having no corn or run over for either forgetting the ranch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Taco Bell worker slapped by angry customer after food ruined his microwave. The guy went home with the food. It was a aluminum wrapper, I'm assuming, around a burrito.
Right.
He put it in the microwave and blew his microwave up, and he got pissed off. So he slapped the worker at the Taco Bell for ruining his microwave at home when he microwaved the dinner later.
I'm going to say somewhere like Ohio or Michigan.
That one, I believe, does not mention the location of where that one went down.
I see it.
Customer goes ballistic at McDonald's, demands a bag of French fries. He lost his S and went on a rampage, trashing one of the chain restaurants in Maryland from the drive-thru window.
It's not from the early 90s, is it?
He starts pointing at the employees who are off screen, but shrieking in terror. Then he pushes a metal storage shelf lined with electronics and other items as he crawled through the window.
Jeez.
He doesn't stop there. He continued to yell that he wants food, violently shaking the fallen shelf while demanding two bags of French fries that were in his view. Walmart employee shot by angry customer in Pineville. Woman claims daughter became pregnant by wearing underwear purchased online. This gets a little bit strange, but it all has to do with customer service.
Yeah.
And finally, a man jumps over a counter, knocks out Marietta poster worker. 27-year-old man jumped over the counter in Pennsylvania and punched the postal worker in the face. He was dazed and confused. The victim reportedly told officers the suspect jumped over the post office counter and punched him in the head several times. He had been assaulting the worker after he became upset that his package had not been delivered yet.
Oh, come on.
Our question when it comes to work, who is the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Guess who it is, Ted?
James.
James, welcome to the men's room.
What's up? Happy Positive Friday.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Right back at you.
Worst customer I've had to deal with. I'm a beer distributor, so I drive the 18-wheelers all around at plethora of places to deliver beer, soda, whatnot. And one of my stops, I will not say because we still deliver to them. The manager there has, long story short, has banned 5 different drivers from 3 different companies. He just hates life, and I had that stop every single week. And so me and him would get into it over the little small things, like I would put the door stopper in the door so that I could bring stacks of beer and stuff inside, and he would kick the door stop out, look at me, and say, I don't want my door open, you know, and then just walk off when I try to explain why I have the door open.
You shouldn't even have to explain that.
No, you really should.
You shouldn't. You think so, but... The 6 months go by, and I'm just dreading going to this place every single week because I have to see his stupid face. And so I nick a can of beer outside with my hand cart on accident. It happens. And beer spills on the sidewalk outside. And so I said, okay, let me put all this stuff in here, you know, before I go and try to figure this out, you know, so nobody spills all the beer that's sitting outside. And before I could even say anything about it, here he comes, you know, with this little minivan march, and comes over to me and says, oh, you're just going to leave that there. And I'm just like, well, the beer in the fridge, that's where it goes. You know, I was being a little smart-a a little bit about it. But, you know, I'm telling him, you know, it happens, you know, whatnot. You know, nothing I can really do about it. I'm sorry. You know, it happens. And he says, well, it's not my fault. You're clumsy. And so, you know, after 6 months of dealing with this S, you know, I kind of had it, and I just said, well, it's not my fault you're an effing a-hole. And so right after I said it, I was just like, oh, crap, you know, I shouldn't have said that. And he goes off and, you know, I'm getting ready to go call, you know, blah, 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 make calls. And I said, okay, go run to mommy. You know, and then I was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that either.
go run to mommy. I like that line.
Yeah. Yeah, but he ended up calling and basically banned me from the store and basically said if I come back, he will trespass me. So they ended up having to take it off of my route, which in general, I've been trying to do that for the past 6 months. But
I was like, aren't you happy about that?
No, I'm a better person for that getting off of my route. But it was just seeing his face. Like I would dream about his stupid face with horns on.
How about how about the guy that or the girl that replaced you? Do they deal with the same crap? Have you ever had communication with that person to find out if it's still going on?
Oh yeah, no, it's still going on. I mean, the guy that took over that stop basically says, "Hey, I have your favorite stop today." I'm just like, "Oh, well, how's it going?" He's like, "That son of a bee," and all this other. He hates. He's an older guy too. He's probably like in his, you know, early to mid 50s doing that stop, and you know he has a more blunt mouth than I do. So I can only imagine he's probably going to get banned.
Well, there's going to come a time when your distributor cuts that guy off.
I was going to say,
it's going to come from the top of this if this continues.
Does this guy generate enough income where you have to tolerate him?
Yes. Unfortunately.
Okay. All right. That's why he gets away. Right. Because typically you cut a guy like that loose. Like, figure it out yourself.
When it comes to work, who was the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Demi. Welcome to the men's room.
What's happening, fellas?
Hola.
So, this story was back in 2009 when I started one of my first jobs in retail, which I worked in retail for a very long time. And, I was a curse clerk at the time at a Fred Meyer. Now, I go get called up to the check stands, and I'm helping bag this guy's stuff because he has two carts. He's pushing one and pulling the other, and it's just filled, overflowing to the brim with stuff. Just literally mix of everything in the store. I mean, full boxes of gum, meat,
I can tell you right now,
water.
That's $1,000, man, if he's got two baskets
full.
It was
two. It was a little over $2,000.
I was going to say.
He even had a Buddha statue from the home decor department just sitting on top. It was like, all right, cool, interesting.
Gum and a Buddha statue. That's why I go to the grocery store.
Right. And so we needed two of our courtesy clerks, me and my buddy, to help this guy out. And we're bagging all this stuff, and then he gets a payment, and he swipes all, like, seven different cards. And I look at my buddy, and I'm like, watch this guy try and run. After the seventh or eighth card, he's like, oh, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I'll maybe be back and whatnot. And he pushes the card out of the way. I get out of the way, and he starts running with one of the cards, the one with the Buddha statue, of course. Runs over my buddy's foot, almost runs into another customer, and the manager at the time, she was this 5 foot flat, tall, stubby little woman, and she stops the cart and is like, no, you're not going to take this. This man, full on, it was impressive. He jumps in the air and plants both feet into her chest and drop kicks her.
Jesus.
He hits the ground. Our grocery manager was already on his way, and he's a 7 foot tall, big, burly man, picks the guy up with one hand and drags him out of the store. His car was sitting in the loop, and he just starts mouthing off, lights a cigarette. We're on the phone with the police, and he drives off, almost hits a couple cars, almost hits a couple customers, and just dips. Best part was 15, 20 minutes later, police officer comes into the store and is getting our stories and everything, and she's like 4'9", 4'10". She's a really short, small, little blonde woman, and we're sitting there telling her the story, and I look up, and guess who's standing right behind her? I'm like, that's him right there. In a matter of 5 seconds, this police officer, she turns around, knocks him to the ground, and cuffs him. And he's just sitting there screaming and drooling all over the tile. Turns out he just recently been diagnosed with HIV or something, and it was something crazy. We had to like clean those tiles like pretty heavily, but it was one of the craziest. I still see it vividly in my head.
I'm surprised that a guy who smokes cigarettes can jump up in the air with 2 feet and kick somebody in the chest. Oh, I'm sorry, as a smoker.
It was insane. Like I don't know how to describe it. It was very, very impressive. Like I was a little younger.
Guy's an idiot, but
now what are all the other customers doing? Are all the other customers just watching this whole thing go down?
Oh, it was a whole spectacle. All the check stands just stopped and just stared at this happening. My buddy ended up helping the manager out, and I got on the phone with the police, and we walked. You know, the grocery manager dragged this guy out, and he was like maybe 6 feet, but he was like really scrawny. Like he definitely, when we heard from them that, you know, he had been diagnosed with HIV and full-blown AIDS, and it was just like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. But
well, wait, how did you find all of that out? Like how much time had passed between the time this guy gets taken off and you find out this guy has AIDS?
Oh, there was like the next day, because the police officers actually had come back in to get the footage and everything, and they warned us, hey, you know, you guys need to clean wherever he was drooling, because he literally was drooling and crying all over the tile in front of the manager's desk, which was literally in the middle of the store.
I can't believe the guy thought that he could actually wheel the carts out without paying for anything and then load his car up and drive away without anyone stopping him.
I mean, in 2024, I believe you'd believe you could do that, because they tell you not to do anything, just let people rip you off. But yeah, in 2009, right. I thought, yeah, you could still, I believe, stop them.
It was iffy around that time. Like, we had a couple managers lose their job because they, you know, stopped people because they put hands on them, things like that. But yeah, it was a little iffy back then.
I swear to God, I truly believe that within our lifetime, depending on where you are and what area you are in, if you work or if you walk into any establishment, they're going to take the Costco methodology and make that a permanent thing for every single place you walk into. In other words, if I'm going to, like with the Amazon To Go, same idea. When I walk in there, they know who I am. I have scanned either my ID or my card. They have checked my card. I have to be a member to walk into the Walgreens. I have to put my code in to get into the door. So no matter what,
really,
every single person who walks in that establishment.
Wait, at your Walgreens?
Look. Like
so
anything
wait,
else,
how, to, if you go to the Walgreens,
to prevent,
what do you
to prevent, to prevent shoplifting? To prevent
it depends on which one you go. So some Costco's now, like, they don't just have a person standing there kind of looking at it. You got to literally scan it.
Scan your card.
To prove it's, like, real.
You can't walk into the establishment unless
they
know
for me,
exactly
that's a benefit
who you are.
Because my Costco card, I would rather scan it than show the security guard. Because Costco, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know this happened. And I've said this before, but we joined Costco. And, you know, you give them your information, whatever. They send you the card. And I get the card, and you flip it over, and the picture is some white woman with blonde hair that I've never met. So we reach out to Costco, say, hey, but clearly, this is the wrong card. Costco, to the credit, said, hey, our bad. We're going to send you a new card. And I get my new card. Same damn white woman with the blonde hair with my name on it. But when I had to go in there and show security, it became a whole thing. And then the security guard had to get a manager. Then the manager had to confirm that it was me. Then they had to write a note. So at the time that I went to check out, no one questioned it. I'd be much happier if I could just go in and scan my card and not have to go through that whole thing again. Because they're why is there a white woman on your card? I'm like, I don't know, man. You guys sent it to me. This is actually the second card. And for whatever reason, I am forever linked to this random ass woman.
Is she attractive?
No, it's just some older lady. I don't know what it is, but she shows up on my card.
When it comes to work, who is the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tara. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So I'm a cab driver.
Oof.
And for some reason, our local hospital has a tendency to release people from the hospital about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. No big deal. And they asked me to come pick a gentleman up and give him a ride to one of the neighboring towns. Okay, no problem.
Do they pay for that?
To pick him up.
Hey, Tara, do they pay for that?
Actually, they did.
Okay.
So I get the gentleman in my taxi, and I often let people sit in the front seat, and he's sitting in the front. By the time I got to the freeway, he's talking to himself, and I'm thinking, this is going to be bad. Well, we get onto the freeway, a couple miles down the road, the dude starts reaching over between my steering wheel and the speedometer, like grabbing for invisible things that are in the air. I slapped his hand and was like, what are you doing? He goes, don't you see it? I said, see what? And he stops, and he kind of just gets quiet a minute. Well, probably another 10 miles down the road, all of a sudden he jumps up, grabs a hold of my steering wheel, pulls himself over to my window on my side, and is just screaming at the top of his lungs. I kind of elbowed him in the ribs and was like, what the heck, dude? Get your butt moved over. He goes, didn't you see that explosion? I said, what explosion? He goes, that semi went off that overpass. There's no overpass, and there's no semi. You need to knock it off right now, or I'm going to have to call the police and remove you from my taxi. I had it, made him get in the back seat, and he was quiet the rest of the ride, but that was the scariest trip I had ever had.
Where did you have to drive him to?
From Ellensburg to Cleellum. It was about a 23-minute drive.
That's a pretty good clip.
Especially,
I mean, you're on I-90. There's not a lot of places to pull over between those two locations.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Did you feel more uncomfortable with him behind you? Like, I get that he's freaking out in the front seat, but when someone's on that level, I'd rather have them beside me than behind me.
Yeah, when you dropped him off, did you drop him off at a residence?
But he could jerk the wheel.
Right. No matter what, it was all kind of creepy. I was more mad at the hospital for not giving me a heads up that the dude was hallucinating off of something. They should have warned me.
I was going to say, did you reach out to the hospital and say, I think you released him a little early? Just a heads up, guys.
I did go down to the hospital, actually, as soon as I got back into town, and I made a big old stink. And they actually had me removed from the hospital.
They had you removed from the hospital.
I'm assuming
this guy didn't leave a tip.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The hospital paid for his fare, so I was just happy once he got out of the taxi.
Well, I'm glad he didn't wreck the car.
Good God.
When it comes to work, who was the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The men's room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. Steve Miggs this time being a loser in fantasy football, stepping in for Ted. With an attempt at the tongue twister we have coming up, Ted versus the FCC, right after emails on our question, when it comes to work, who was the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sherman. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Gentlemen, I was working years ago in Spokane at a convenience store right on I-82.
My God, that already sounds like a nightmare. I was at a convenience store in Spokane. Like, you could stop there and we get it.
there was some different things that happened there. The manager who worked during the day, and I was the closing, well, the overnight, like 11 to 7. One night, a gentleman came in about 3 o'clock in the morning and wanted to purchase beer on his account that knew the manager very well and had an account there. And he says, well, it's not actually technically selling beer. You're just, you know, putting it on my account. I explained to him that, no, it's technically selling beer. And he had a burrito cooking, one of the large burritos, in the microwave. And when I told him that he couldn't purchase and I wouldn't unlock the coolers, he went over to the microwave, he grabbed the burrito and hurled it at me behind the counter. And it splattered all over the window behind me and all over all the cigarettes and everything else that was in there. And it was kind of a nightmare. When the manager came in the next morning, you know, I explained what happened to him, and he was, you know, I'm sorry. And I told him, I says, I don't want this to happen again, or I can't work here anymore. And it never did happen again. But
did you ever see that guy again?
No. So it was like there was a house right next to the store that always had a bunch of motorcycles parked out front or along the side and out back and in the alley and stuff. And so, yeah, and I never saw him again. He didn't come in the store anymore or needed anybody in the, who was in the house to come over.
But did he come from that house?
He came from that house. He knew the account. He had his bike there and stuff.
Well, that's old school. I've heard about it at bars.
But
I've never heard about that type of one-on-one situation at a retail.
Convenience.
Yeah, at that kind of a place.
Hey, Sherman, let me ask you this. Now, when he threw the burrito, did he have bad aim and missed, or did you actually have to duck?
No, I ducked.
Okay.
George Bush did.
He would have hit me with that hot burrito, and there would have been bean stuff all over.
Miss me. I still remember when George Bush had that shoe thrown at him when he popped
back. He dodged it good.
He looked like he popped up like, ha, miss me.
Yeah. That's a quick dodge, too.
When it comes to work, who was the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Ted, wasn't your buddy, I guess it's a Royal Farms in Baltimore, he was stabbed?
Oh, yeah. So that one is gone now. But
the location.
That location.
Ah, okay.
Right? Because we used to work at this bar. Like, they tore down that whole block.
Oh, yeah.
But that was kind of the thing. Rural Farms is like, again, I'm...
24-hour convenience store.
But they had, like, fresh... And they had fried chicken that people loved. And then you could go in there and get subs and everything. So this one was right next to Johns Hopkins University. So you would go in there after the bars, and we would always get the same, you know, chicken subs, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So the one night, it's the guy's first night working there. It's taken a while. My buddy's kind of like, come on, dude. Like, hurry up. And the guy's like, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to take it outside? So my buddy, not missing a beat's like, sure, whatever. We can go outside. And he's walking first. He opens the door. And before he can get outside, the guy that had been working, who had the giant knife, just starts stabbing him. And I mean, seriously, he literally almost died. He collapsed his lung and everything else. But yeah, the dude stabbed him, I think, 6 times because he said he was taking too long making the sub.
That's day one.
I wonder how that worked out in court.
You know what's funny? I don't know the end of that. I don't know. I mean, look, the dude, well, that's the other part of the story. Like, the guy didn't continue working there.
Yeah.
Obviously, the other worker was like, you got to leave. But there was just crazy stuff at that store. I mean, look, we used to steal stuff from that store.
Yeah.
And then one night we were in there, and a dude took, like, 2 whole cases of, like, chocolate bars or something. And he runs
chocolate bars.
So he just had a bunch of stuff, and he runs out. And me and my buddy mainly, chases him down. But I'm kind of with him, so we come back in, and the woman's like, "Thank you too so much. What can I give you guys?" And we were like, "We couldn't imagine taking a single thing for free from this store.
Certainly not a 6 pack of beer." Sure.
Right? We had stolen candy bars and everything.
Oh, that's why you're being good.
That's right. So it's just funny. The one time they were like, "Do you guys want something for free?" We were like, "No, no, no.
We like to steal."
Basically.
We'll come in and get it.
Yeah.
When it comes to work, who was the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jordan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
All right, so this story goes back to about 2012, 2013, when I was working my first job at Arby's up in Mount Vernon. Well, right next door to this restaurant was a hotel. And all one of my coworkers sees from the second floor balcony while he's on break is a purse fly out of a room and into the parking lot. Well, I poke my head out this door, or out the drive-thru window, I'm sorry, and see this chick running out and this dude chasing out after her. And so I tell my boss, you know, hey, I'm going to step out there and, you know, intervene and make sure this chick is okay. Well, once I get outside in the parking lot, all I see is this dude and this chick are all bloody to hell. And a knife in this dude's hand.
Oh.
And, well, I get between this guy and this chick telling him, hey, no, you're not going to get near this girl. I ain't going to let this fly. And mind you, he's starting to approach me, getting all aggressive, saying this girl is a B, this girl is a hooker, this girl has done this and that, you shouldn't listen to her. And mind you, know they're both bloody. And I still have the headset on my head while I'm squaring up with this dude. And, you know, least intimidating person at all. But during this whole altercation, my boss starts grabbing me and starts trying to pull me back in the building and telling me, hey, you know, don't do this. Well, in that moment, the cops show up. They end up telling us to go back inside. We go back inside. And during their whole altercation, well, if I have the headset on, I can still hear everything going on through the speaker. They're telling this guy, get on the ground, drop the knife. And they eventually handcuff this dude. Well, they take both of them in. And after they took both of them in, we fill out our statements and everything. The next day, the old school resource officer that was at my high school when I was there came through the line. He was a responder to the scene. And I asked him, you know, hey, no, you can't tell me exact details, but what the heck was that? Turned out it ended up being an armed robbery of a prostitute.
Oh, he was robbing her?
No, what I think was happening was he refused to pay. She pulled a knife on him.
Uh-huh.
They started wrestling over the knife, and that's how they both got cut up to all hell.
Could you easily identify her as a lady of the night when you were watching this go down? Did it look like that?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. She just looked like your average gal, probably 100 pounds soaking wet, and this dude was like 6'4". And I'm like, I'm not going to let you get near her. But yeah, it turns out to be armed robbery of a prostitute.
Hmm. That actually makes it kind of interesting, at least. Yeah, like, all right.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this, ask you this. At your time at Arby's, what was your go-to meal there? Even if it's some combination they don't offer on the menu.
Honestly, just the basic beef and cheddar meal with curly fries and, yeah.
I'm right there with you. That's my order.
Yeah,
that's my order.
Just give me the standard.
That's my order.
I know they got another question. Like, is there generally prostitutes in Mount Vernon?
Oh, you'd be surprised. There's the homeless population, and yeah, there are some kind of gross-looking prostitutes up here.
Maybe that's good. Right. That's our new slogan. We got hoes.
Yeah.
I just don't think of like smaller towns having streetwalkers.
Really?
No.
I absolutely. But to me, and look, I could be wrong. So like Seattle, you go to Aurora, there it is. Their advertising is pretty obvious. I feel like in the smaller towns, like they're everywhere, like they are anywhere. I just feel like the difference is it's someone you know. Like, yeah, I went to high school with her. I knew what she did. I'm not judging, but every once in a while I get horny. Here's $50. Let's go do our thing.
Yeah. When it comes to work, who is the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
No, I mean, you're right. I've always lived near big cities. I'm just like, oh, what's going on out there?
You have prostitutes too? Cool.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Hey, maybe I'll come out for the weekend. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, my brothers.
Hola.
All right. This is a strange story. It starts out with me being stationed in the Philippines. I've called in a few times. I was given a 12-hour notice that I was going to deploy. Normally, I deployed to the Gulf, but this time I deployed to Panama.
All right.
And this is 1987. Ronald Reagan was doing his show of force thing. He had a couple of aircraft carriers down in Central America. So I'm at Howard Air Force Base. We go, my aircraft commander says we got a mission, so we're going to fly about a 20-minute flight, land. So we flew from the Air Force Base to the International. We taxied into a compound and picked up Manuel Noriega and his numero uno dos and tres.
And flying back to the States, I'm guessing?
No, we took him out to the aircraft carriers.
All right.
Both of them.
Okay.
We, the Ranger and the Colony at the time. One was on the, the Atlantic and Pacific. So there were two.
You didn't have to personally deal with them, though, did you?
Oh, yeah. He was, I was the air crewman. I had to brief him and show him how to get out of the aircraft in case it crashed, because we were landing on an aircraft carrier and then departing and then going to land again and then departed again, which is crazy, all in one day. And then, of course, after that, he wasn't a bad guy to us, but he was a bad guy to the world because we kind of invaded him a little bit later.
Right. Yep.
But he was the worst person that I ever had to deal with during my 20 years in the Navy.
Is it because of his status in his country, like that super entitlement?
Yes, exactly. It's not because he, you know. It's what he did.
All right. Well, that makes sense. That's crazy.
It does.
Yeah.
Right, because wasn't he like laundering the money for the cartels?
I believe that was the case. There was a lot of weird stuff going on when Reagan was in office.
You got the Contra stuff going on.
You know, you're trading weapons, and then, you know, the streets get flooded with all the drugs, which gave the serious rise to the violent street gangs that everyone bitches about now. You know what I mean? Like, he had so many moving parts on this, and it's... And then, like, when your usefulness is done, like, yeah, now we're going to come get you.
When it comes to work, who was the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brent. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, you dinosaurs.
Hola.
So, I work in the glass business. Yeah, my handle is Bernie the Glass Man. You might recognize some of my texts.
Okay.
But the worst customer I ever had to deal with years ago, and I do full glass replacements and also rock chips. You know, a little ding in your windshield, whatever. Don't call whatever the people that advertise all the time on TV. They're about the worst. Just FYI. Anyways, this guy comes in. He's one right in front of his face. Like if you drew crosshairs in your windshield above your steering wheel, it's a tiny little thing, less than a dime. And I told him, I can fix it. It will not grow, but you will still see it. It will still be there. It'll like be a bug that you cannot wash off your windshield right in front of your face. And I fixed it. He's like, I don't like this. Rah, rah, rah. He just right up in my grill. He dresses me down in front of a showroom full of people. I take him outside. He gets, and I'm 5'10". He's like 6'3 or 4". And he's just, rah, rah, he's yelling and screaming at me. And I'm like, this is the best it gets. Order a new windshield. I'll have it tomorrow. Oh, he's not having it. I had the customers call 911 because this guy was such an a-hole.
Did he pay for the repair you did do? Or did you just say, just get out?
His insurance company paid for it. He had, you know, they waive your deductible. You know, you got a $100, $50 deductible, whatever.
More than that.
They don't want to pay for a $300 or $400 windshield. Hey, we'll waive it for a $50 rock chip repair. You can save the window, you know, for...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but he was not having it. I told him up front, I'm like, this will not be invisible.
Did the police come?
The sheriff was like 30 seconds away down the street. They showed up and like took him away. I'm like, you know, breathing down, de-escalating and stuff. Customers in the shop are like shaking their heads like, OMG, this is the worst. It came really close to physical blows.
Oh, it's not worth it over that, Bernie. That's fact.
No kidding. No.
Jesus.
But this guy takes a swing at you.
When it comes to work, who is the worst person or customer you ever had to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dylan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
All right, so about 12 years ago, I worked with a guy in IT, and he was the biggest ball of stress, anxiety, all built into 140 pounds of him. And he would take, you know, a 30-second smoke break. He would be crushing, you know, damn near shotgunning Red Bulls, you know, by the four packs. So one day, he's on the phone with someone. He gets all stressed out. He hangs up the phone. He goes outside, and he kicks his tires to his vehicle, right? Just angry, just so mad about whatever that phone call was about, probably a printer. He comes back inside with this grin on his face. And I'm just like, what now? He sits down next to me, and he's the type of guy. He's in IT. He's wearing steel toe boots. Okay. I'm like, all right, great. He pulls his boot off, and he's got gross socks on. He pulls his sock off. He's got claws on his toenails. I'm like, oh, of course he does. God. And he's about 3 feet away from me. And he proceeds to grab a pair of needle-nose pliers. And 3 feet away from me, he pulls his big toenail completely off.
Oh.
He got so stressed over probably nothing that he kicked it. It did something in his steel toe boots. And I was sitting there. I was in disbelief that he's just bleeding next to me. And he just pulls that toenail off. And I could not believe that had just have never had that happen in all my years of working somewhere.
Yeah, me neither, bro. I think that's a 1 in 10 million
Whatever happened to that guy, do you think?
If he lived another 5 years, I would be shocked.
Really?
I mean, our job was not stressful. I mean, you know, you deal with some people who don't know how to unplug and plug something back in. Sure, right? Every IT department does. But he would be just so angry, and then he would pick up the phone and he'd be like, how can I help you? And then he'd hang it up and he'd be so angry again.
What do you think it was? How many years did you work with this guy?
I was there for 3 months. I quit a week later to open up my own business.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for you.
Oh, I actually talked to the owner and I told him about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't blame you. Like, he was just like, cool, go do your own thing. Yeah, that makes sense. Best of luck to you. So, no, if that guy lived another few years, I'd be shocked. It was at least a pack a day and a 4-pack of Red Bulls in an 8-hour shift, at least.
And ripping off your toenails with pliers.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I have never seen that. It was bleeding, and it was gross before that happened, because, you know, you pull off the sock with the holes in it,
yeah,
and then he grabs the pliers that we all use when we're building computers and pulls that thing off. Grossest thing I've ever seen. This dude is the craziest thing.
Damn.
Okay. That is insane.
We had the lady call about taking the person from the hospital in Ellensburg to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was seeing things and reached across the wheel.
And she's trying to drive a cab.
Should tell you this story. A Lyft driver in Texas is safe after police say a customer forced him at gunpoint to drive 1,300 miles to Florida. The ordeal took place Friday night when the suspect, identified as 23-year-old Miguel Hernandez, pulled out a gun instead of exiting the vehicle and told the driver, you need to drive to Florida right now and you cannot speed. At one point, the following morning, police say he ordered the driver to phone his children and say he was on a long work trip and would not be home for a while. When they arrived in Miami Beach, the driver told police that his kidnapper spoke of plans to kidnap another person and score a big payday. The driver escaped when they went to a Dollar General store to get supplies by hiding in the bathroom. It is unclear whether he alerted police himself or told store clerks, but police did arrest the suspect 3 hours later in Hollywood, Florida. Hernandez is being held on charges of kidnapping, carjacking, and possessing a firearm in furtherance of a violent crime. 1,300-mile Lyft drive.
Look, as someone who has kidnapped someone before, at least we did it in our own vehicle. Just don't use rideshare.
Coming up, the return of Ted versus the FCC, and we've got your emails coming up next from the Men's Room at KISW.com.